Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
When we speak about destiny, or as we say, kismet or bhagya, a lot of us tend to defer, as though somehow it were written in our genes like our eye color. Okay. In this particular incarnation, I've got brown eyes. Nothing you can do to change it. I mean, you could buy contacts, but that just hides it. Nothing you can actually do to change the color of your eyes. It's what I came into the world with. It's my whole genetic karmic package. A lot of us tend to think of destiny in the same way. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say things like, oh, mera bhagya mein nahi hai. It's not in my destiny. Not in my kismet. Not in what I will be getting. And on the one hand, it's beautiful in that it enables us to be peaceful and accepting of everything that happens. So spiritually and emotionally, it's a beautiful act of surrender to just whatever is. And it keeps people who are really able to just say, chalo, bhagya mein aise likha hua hoga. It must have been written like this in my destiny. Are much more calm, much more peaceful, much happier. However, that particular approach also can lead not just to the very beautiful and desirable calmness, peace, acceptance, which we all should strive for, but it also can lead to apathy, indifference, laziness, lethargy, and a sense of resignation, where resignation is really not required at all. Because our destiny is being written every day. There's three different types of karma. We have our long-term karma, meaning, and I won't go into all of the different philosophical nuances of this, or it's a whole class in and of itself, a whole long lecture in and of itself, but karma literally means an action. We use the word karma to speak frequently about the fruits of the karma, so we say, oh, I've got bad karma. But actually, karma just means action. And the fruits are the repercussions, the consequences of the action. So we have our long-term karma, meaning at some point in a past life, I engaged in a certain action or a certain set of actions. But the fruit is a very long time in maturing. It's a long gestation period, you could say. Some of that is bearing fruit in this life. There's absolutely pieces of this life that we're getting that are the blossoming fruit of seeds that I planted in past lives. But that's only a few. That's only one piece of where I am today. The other pieces are my short-term karma, things that I've done in this lifetime, and my immediate karma, like what I did 5 minutes ago. So if I went out on the street and I ate lots and lots and lots of pani puris, and half an hour later I had a really bad stomach, and I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm vomiting and I've got diarrhea. Well, sure, it might bring me some peace in the moment to just say, Chelo mera bhagya mai aise likha hua hai. Yes, it must just be written in my destiny that I'm going to be awake vomiting at 2 in the morning. But the problem with that is it doesn't make me recognize the impact of the meal that I had earlier in the evening that I knew I shouldn't have eaten. And that really I would be much better off not eating in the future. If I am rude and obnoxious with people, if I treat them badly, and then people don't like me, and so I find myself lonely, again, I could say, Chelo mera bhagya mai aise likha hua hai. And it's good emotionally to be able to just accept it. But it would also be really effective to be able to look and to say, how is how I'm acting? How is my own karma in every moment contributing to the relationships or lack of relationships that I have? And these are oversimplified examples, of course, but those are the three different types of karma that we have. So in every moment, we are experiencing the fruit of all three of those. So for example, with me right here, right now, I've got past life karma that made me take birth this lifetime 49 years ago in America, in the womb of an American woman. That means today, my body is an American body. That which I have genetically is American. I've been doing yoga asanas for more than 30 years. But if I sit like this for an hour, without changing the cross of my legs, my hips will hurt, my knees will hurt, my legs will fall asleep, it'll start to burn. And I've sat next to Indian women who sit like this for 6 straight hours in a katha. Genetically, different hips. And we know that. So pieces of it are past life karma, nothing I can do to change the physical structure of my body. That I was born into this life in an American physical body, not an Indian, not an Asian one. Then I've got my medium term karma, choices that I made 25 years ago that brought me to India, that made me stay here. Choices that I made along the way here to take sannyas, to dedicate myself in seva, in learning and in sharing. Medium-term karma. Then I've got my most immediate karma. About half an hour ago, I chose to put one foot in front of the other and to walk up here onto this beautiful rooftop to sit down in front of this camera and speak to you. All three of those things are working together right now in me here to give me this destiny. So our destiny is the sum total of all of that. And right here, right now, you are writing your destiny for tomorrow, for next year. Yes, of course, you've got the long-term karma that you can't change. Can't change my eye color. Can't change my hip structure. But there's a lot I can change. There's a lot we can do. And that's where every minute and every moment we have to realize that in this free will that we have, we are creating our own destiny. This moment is the pre of the predetermined experience that you will have tomorrow or a year from now. So grab this moment. This is why we meditate. It's why we do seva. It's why we pray. It's why we study spiritual literature. It's why we sit with the spiritual masters to be able to have the intellect, the buddhi, the clarity to know how to make the right decisions. My favorite way of thinking about this is imagine that right here, right now, your sum total of all of these karmas is a cow. You can't change it. It's like my eye color. Can't change it. But then, from that cow, we get manure. It's a wonderful organic fertilizer if you put it in your fields. Crops become wonderful. Cow also gives us milk. And assuming that the milk is organic and that the cow is fed organic feed and that the cow is loved and cared for and never harmed, well, that milk then nourishes us, nurtures us. But if you take that milk and you spill it in the field and you eat the manure, you're going to get sick and your crops will die. Not because that sickness was pre-written in your destiny thousands of years ago, but because you took that cow and you didn't know what to do with it. Or knowing what to do, you made the wrong decision. So every moment, make sure to have the clarity to know, what am I supposed to do? What do I do? And this is where we get really quiet. And we go within. And if we don't have the answer within, this is what we have gurus for. Tomorrow's Guru Purnima. It's what we have gurus for. To be able to say to us, no, that's just your ego. No, that's just desire. No, that's fear. And this is really your calling. And then we know what to do. With the white stuff, with the brown stuff that comes out of the cow. And to create a destiny that's healthy for us and our collective field.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's rainn.org.
Brought to you by Rain and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
So the role of faith is essential, but not because of the reason you may think. When we look at crises in the world that are both of our creation and that are in our hands to change, climate change, war, environmental destruction, violence. We have created these. We are the problem, and we are the solution. Climate change and environmental destruction, they didn't fall out of the sky. We don't have aliens in spaceships or on other planets, you know, blowing hair dryers on Earth and heating up the atmosphere. We've created it. The science shows it. Look at just the last couple hundred years. Go back to the Industrial Revolution and you simply look at the correlation between fossil fuels, carbon emissions, temperatures, melting of glaciers. It's all there. It's cause and effect. Stimulus response. We've done it. So the role of faith here is not about, oh God, I've really made a mess of things. I'm going to keep making a mess of things, but if you could please come in and clean up my mess while I keep making it, that would be great. That's not the role of faith. Faith is not a way out. Faith is not a way of abdicating responsibility. Faith is not that which makes us powerless or gives us a license to decadence and recklessness as though somehow God's job was to come in and just clean up our messes. The role of faith is to break the illusion that makes us keep making the wrong decisions. The role of faith is that which makes us understand I am one. One with Mother Earth. I am one with the trees that are being cut down. I am one with the rivers that are being polluted. I am one with the children who are dying due to air pollution, water pollution. I am one with future generations. I am one with the hundreds of millions of people who will become refugees due to climate change and lack of water in the next 10 to 20 years. They're not separate from me. The Amazon rainforest, which produces about 20% of the oxygen of planet Earth, that takes in about 20% of the carbon emissions, and that stores and provides about 20% of the water. I am one with those trees that are being cut down at the rate of an acre a second. An acre a second. Just to graze cattle to become hamburgers. I'm one with them. And I'm one with the tens of thousands of children who are dying of starvation every day. And the approximately billion people who sleep hungry every day. When we actually produce enough grain to feed more than 10 billion people a day. But because we cycle our grain through animal agriculture, through the meat industry, through the cows and the pigs and the chickens who become our hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken McNuggets, these people suffer. I'm one with them. That's what faith teaches me. Faith shows me the world is a family. That same divine I experience in my heart when I pray, when I meditate, when I chant, that same divine lives in those children. That same divine lives in the trees of the Amazon. The same divine lives in our sacred Mother Ganga and all the water bodies of this world that we pollute. That's what my faith teaches me. And my faith teaches me that who I am is whole and complete and perfect and enough and divine. And so I don't need to gobble up the world and consume the world and buy more, have more, achieve more, attain more, obtain more in order to feel enough. Because so much of that which we, those with the luxury to choose, so much of that which we wreak upon Mother Earth and upon those with whom we share this sacred planet, we do it in the ignorance of feeling like we lack. I grab and I grasp because I don't feel like I am enough. Whether I'm grabbing land, whether I'm grabbing possessions, whether I'm grabbing the physical bodies of other people to harm or rape or kill them, whether I'm grabbing through guns and missiles and bombs to grab land, or whether I'm grabbing through using my credit card to buy way more than I need in department stores because shopping makes me feel better. Or I'm buying more and more food to eat, to fill my inner emptiness, to numb my boredom, my frustration, my sadness, my pain. My faith teaches me I am enough. I am whole. I am one with God. I'm divine. I can tread lightly on Mother Earth. I can give more than I consume. My cup already runneth over. That is the role of faith. It keeps us from needing to steal other people's countries, their land, their lives, their wives, their property, their freedom, their rights, their dignity. Just because we can. And just because it makes me feel more powerful, more macho, more numb, more distracted. Faith keeps me grounded and anchored and full. So it's good for you and it's good for the planet. Consider your spiritual practice not only a gift to yourself, but a gift to everyone around you and a gift to Mother Earth.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
First of all, Arun, congratulations. Beautiful. Beautiful courage. And just know, we are all with you. All of us. Here at Parmarth Niketan. Just know, that support is there, first of all. Second, know that you've taken, just by putting this online, just by having the courage to share this online, that you've taken a huge step. It's not easy. I'm not going to kid you. It's not going to be easy. Indian culture, the Hindu tradition, is not yet at the place where it could be in embracing the absolute fullness of choices that we make, of embracing the absolute fullness of the differences in who we are that lead us to make these choices, in the awareness that it's not about rebellion, that it's not about something gone awry, that it's not about somehow a misfiring, that it's not even a problem. I'm not going to kid you, Arun. The culture is not yet fully there. But we're moving. We're moving. And it's going to feel slow. I know that. But what I want you to know is that there is already a growing and strengthening community, even within the Hindu community, even within the community in India, that understands. That understands that when we say God is in all, when we say the divine pervades all, when we say the world is one family, that that includes not only all races, all colors, all religions, all castes, but that it also includes all sexual orientations. We're moving there. Again, slowly, but we are moving there. And for you, you've taken, as I said, a very courageous step. Stay strong, not rigid. Don't shut down your heart. But keep that heart open. Think about a tree. The trees that are able to move gently in the storm are the trees that withstand the storm. The trees that are absolutely unmovable, rigid, stubborn, are the trees that come down. And what I mean by that is, you don't need to shut down your heart. You don't need to contract yourself rigidly against your family, against your culture, against your society. Let your heart be open, because you, in your vulnerable struggle to show people that you are exactly the same beautiful, amazing person they've always loved are the same. And the fact that you're attracted to boys instead of girls does not make you a different person. That it doesn't make you less divine, less amazing, less pure and perfect. That God doesn't love you any less. But it's going to require you to open your heart in that vulnerable way to them. And what I can tell you is that the truth is very powerful, and it draws people to it. Do not be weak. Do not feel sorry. Do not apologize. Do not tell anyone, I am sorry that I am like this. You have no more reason to apologize for your sexual orientation than anyone does based on the color of their skin, how tall or short they are, how well they can sing or poorly they can sing, how good at math they are or not good at math they are. We're all born with an incredibly complex, infinite tapestry that is woven together by this infinite number of threads. One of the threads is your sexual orientation. And that thread is a part of the perfect, divine, whole, pure, complete being you are. So don't apologize, ever. Stay grounded, stay strong. But also have compassion and understanding that not everyone understands. In fact, chances are, I don't know exactly where you live, but there may be more people who don't understand than people who do. And that's okay. Be compassionate with them. Help them understand. And know that the love that people feel for you, if it's real, which in most cases it is, will stay with you. Lastly, though, I want to just help you understand something. The reason in this culture, or one of the reasons, rather, I should say, that in this culture there is what we could speak of as a narrow-mindedness toward homosexuality is not from a narrow-mindedness of mind, as it may seem. It's from the fact that the Hindu tradition is a tradition, remember, that is rooted ultimately in the idea that the highest purpose of life is to go beyond the calls of the body, right? We fast. We stay awake all night. We stand on one leg. So many of the religious and spiritual tapasya that we do, the sadhana that we do, is to remind us, to teach us, I'm not the call of my body. And so even married couples, for example, come on spiritual yatras. They are abstinent. Doesn't mean they'll never have sex again, but it means during this time they observe abstinence. People don't eat food when they're fasting for spiritual reasons. Not that food is bad, but just to teach us, I'm not the calls of my body. In the nights when we stay awake all night, it's not that sleep is bad, but it's to teach us, I'm not the calls of my body. And the reason for all of these teachings is to deeply, deeply ingrain in us that core tenet of the Hindu tradition, which is you are not your body. Your ultimate dharma is to recognize that you are divine, that you're not the calls of the senses, you're not the hungers, you're not the thirsts, you're not the desires. And so even in a heterosexual tradition, if a heterosexual married couple went to a religious guru and said, God, you know, we love to have sex. We have sex 30 times a day. We have sex in every room of the house, on every surface. That guru would say, you need to move beyond that. That's not what you are here for. In the same way, when we go through the ashrams of life, right? Brahmacharya ashram phase, then the grihastha ashram phase, householder. Then moving into vanprastha ashram phase and ultimately sannyasa ashram phase. What does it mean? Even for heterosexual married people, once you've had children, you're supposed to move beyond those calls of the body. So the core teaching is the purpose of sex is to make babies. And when you are not making babies, as in 30 times a day, or as in after you already have had children and your householder duties are done, you're supposed to move beyond that. And herein lies one of the core dilemmas with homosexuality, is you're asking a religious tradition that by its nature is against the idea of sex just for pleasure of the body, to suddenly embrace sex that's not going to give children. And this is where, on a core level, one of the reasons that we see this discrimination. And this is where it's so important to help slowly educate even more the culture, the people, that just like a relationship between a man and a woman who love each other is not about sex, in the same way the relationship between a man and a man who love each other isn't about sex. That's just one part of it. And that in the same way that a married man and woman use that marriage as their path to God, use that marriage as their relationship yoga, in the same way, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, can use their relationship as a yoga to get closer to God. But as I began, we're not quite there yet, where we need to be in the understanding in this culture. But it is happening. And you can be one of those lights. You can be one of those people who chooses to hold on to his faith, to his culture, to his tradition, to his religion, and to understand that you can still be deeply rooted in your culture, rooted in your tradition, and still be gay, and still be involved in a beautiful, loving relationship with a man. And then you, through your courage, through your vulnerability, will give that courage to other young men and other young women to also come out. So, congratulations for the courage. Congratulations for finding a beautiful partner of the heart. And I know that you're going to be a wonderful light for others. And again, just know always, especially in the dark moments where you feel alone, we're all here with you. And we love you.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
The catch-22 of self-fulfilling prophecies. When you look at your life, there's a lot of reasons that we may not necessarily be achieving or attaining that which we want to. One reason may be very simple. That's not in our karmic package. That's not the universe's plan for us. If I set my sights that I was only going to be happy if I achieved being a superstar basketball player, I would live a life of misery. At 5'3" and, you know, about 115 pounds, especially now as an almost 50-year-old female, no chance. But even as a 20-year-old female, I was still only 5'3". There was no possibility in this particular incarnation, in this particular physical being, that I was going to be a superstar on some professional basketball team. That 6-foot-something, 200-something-pound men were going to really want me as the one they were going to pass the ball to, or as the one who was going to make the shot, or as the one who was going to dribble the ball down the court. Didn't matter if I had the most amazing coaches and trainers. No chance. So one reason that we don't attain things is because we've made a decision in our mind that which we want to attain is something that's just not in our karmic package. And this is where it's so important to find that balance between, on the one hand, continuing to try, not giving up, giving your best, being sincere, but also honestly looking at each of our skills, our abilities, and really assessing, not in a sense of an inferiority complex or a superiority complex, with none of our emotional drama or psychological baggage. Is this actually something that I can attain? too many of us create a situation that we're not going to be happy unless we attain something or achieve something that isn't in our karmic package. So that's one reason that we don't attain it. And the solution for that reason is to let it go. Ask yourself, okay, professional basketball player, not this life. What are my skills? What are my abilities? If God has put me here on earth in a small framed female body, what are all of the infinite, powerful, amazing ways that I can use that incarnation rather than being miserable that I'm not able to be a professional basketball player? Reason number two is because we have decided in our minds that we are not good enough to succeed, that we are not good enough for that particular achievement, or simply that we are not in general worthy of success. And a lot of this comes from early childhood patterning. So maybe we had a mother or a father or a sibling or a teacher or a babysitter or someone who, in an unskilled moment, in a moment where they were not grounded and anchored, said something to us like, "You are stupid. You are worthless. You will never become anything." Or maybe they always compared us to a sibling, to a cousin, to someone next door, and they said, "Why can't you be like your sister or your brother? You are the stupid one. You are the lazy one. Look at your brother, look at your sister, look at your cousin. Look at these people's children. What is wrong with you?" And we internalize it. And 15, 20, 40, 50 years later, when we cannot succeed, and we wonder why, we don't realize the impact that those early teachings have on our psyche. We take those statements that, of course, whoever said them, if you told them now, you know, "Hey, you ruined my life," they would feel miserable. They'd say, "My God, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Oh, I was just so frustrated. Or, oh, I was just trying to inspire you. Or I was just trying to discipline you. I was just trying to encourage you to do better." But we've internalized them. And so we literally self-sabotage. And even when we do have the skills and the abilities to succeed, we don't. Because if I succeed, then what it means is that my own internal truth is wrong. And in a lot of ways, maintaining an internal harmony, a consonance internally between what I believe, what I think, and how my life is, in many ways, that is more important than my happiness, than my peace, than my success. And it sounds crazy, but this is the workings of the human mind. So ask yourself, what pattern do I have? What commentary is there in my mind that is telling me, "You'll never be able to really do anything. You're not going to make a difference in the world. Who are you to think that you can help people? Who are you to think that you're worthy of achieving something? Who are you to think that you're worthy of really being anything? And so every time we get just at the brink of beautiful success, unconsciously, we sabotage so that that truth that I am worthless can stay my truth. So it's very important on both levels, on every level, to free ourselves from these patterns of thoughts. This is why. It's why we meditate. It's why we do japa. It's why we do seva. It's why we do all of our spiritual practice, why we chant. To free our minds of the total nonsense that is guiding, running, and ruining our lives. But lastly, you also need to free yourself of this idea that I am worthy of occupying my place here on planet Earth simply because I have produced something today. Nothing in nature produces 24/7, 365 days a year, every year. The most beautiful trees have green leaves, lush green leaves, certain seasons. Then the leaves dry, they fall down. Fruit trees give fruit some seasons, not all. Our fields. In order for fields to be the most abundant, the most fertile, we actually need to let them lie fallow for a season. Farmers will tell you, if you don't leave fields fallow, if you don't do crop rotation, if you keep expecting one field to produce the same things, season after season after season, it loses its fertility. So when everything in nature has seasons, we have wet seasons and dry seasons. We have hot seasons and cold seasons. Fertile seasons. Fallow seasons. When everything in nature is like that, why would you be different? But your worthiness of being here has nothing to do with what you produce. It has to do with who you are. What you do as your dharma, your offering unto this divine universe, that you give because it is who you are. Not because it makes you worthy, but because it's the most natural outcome, offering, like apples are the most natural offering of an apple tree. So let it come when it flows naturally. And if you've got fallow periods, love yourself in the fallow periods and recognize that you're building fertility for next season.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.